Okay, we are learning Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the different Averis that are available for someone who wants to speak Lashon Hara. Now, the idea of learning the different Averis is, of course, to dissuade someone from speaking Lashon Hara. I'm going to learn today Lav Yud Aleph, which we actually touched on last time, but because the recorder wasn't working, we'll review. The Chofetz Chaim is listing the averis that a person could be over by speaking Lashon Hara. And the idea is that when something gets very expensive, you might as well trade it in for a bunch of other averis which are cheaper. In the beginning, in the Psicha, Lav Yur Aleph. Yes, you got it. Okay, V'choze shekosavnu hu b'mesaper b'yechidi. Says the 10 prior lavim refer to someone who speaks Lashon Hara as an individual, or Shemaya B'Yechidi, or listens to Lashon Hara as an individual. Aval hu imhu medabek atzmai lechabura shal anshei resha ubalei Lashon Hara. If somebody's sitting and they're schmoozing and a bunch of people are schmoozing and talking together, speaking Lashon Hara, k'dei l'saper lahem, k'dei l'shmaya mehen, he's part of a group. I like to remember my wife told me in the bungalow colony that when the ladies used to sit out in the afternoon in their lounge chairs and talk, so one lady said that she's always, no matter what, she doesn't get up and walk away. Because as each woman gets up and walk away, the remaining women talked about her. So she said, man, if I get up and walk away, you're going to talk about me. So it was a contest of wills, you know, until you make it. So the idea of speaking Lashon Hara b'chabura, over gamken alav de loisiya achri rabim lorois. Now this lav, which is a parshas mishpatim, loisiya achri rabim lorois, literally refers to the Sanhedrin. It's talking about Sanhedrin that paskins. It's a very specific lav. The Gemara darshins that if you remember the Sanhedrin and you're trying to decide whether to punish someone, and you think the fellow is innocent, and everybody else on the Sanhedrin says he's chayav misa. So there are 23 people on the Sanhedrin, 22 voted, they all said chayav. Now it's your turn to vote. And you really think the guy's innocent. So why should you vote? Huh? Well, you're not thinking like you're thinking like a straight person. There's really a trick. There's a clause in the law. You're in the base medrash now. That's why you're not at work. There's a clause in the law that if it's unanimous that someone's chayav misa, we spare him because we feel there was no opportunity to see the other side of the question. Usually, if two people disagree about something, they discuss it. You get clarity. What? Oh, well, give me a second. So that pasuk really has nothing to do with Lashon Hara. That pasuk is Laisiach Rab Lorois is saying that you have to say what's on your mind. If the Rabbim are saying something Lorah and you think they're wrong, so that's their conscience. You have to say what you really feel. That's the Gzeres HaKadosh to Laisiach Rab Lorois. Chofetz Chaim is saying, and he brings this from Rabbeinu Yaina, that this applies to any avir that's done as a group. Anything done as a group is more serious than something done as an individual. He brings l'fimash kasser Rabbeinu Yaina al shuas hara sholei lahaskamu l'schaberim oisei avel af shehim rabim, not to connect to a group. Ayin l'kaman oizvav b'mitzvah sasei. Says that you have to be part of a chabura l'tayv and not a chabura l'rav. So if you want to do an aveira, go do it on your own. Don't attach yourself to a group. An aveira done by a group is more serious than an aveira done by an individual. Now, of course, the part of this is that when someone is part of a group, there's a certain peer pressure to do an aveira. But peer pressure is not only peer pressure when people do things. You know, very often You hear after some teenager did some terrible, cruel torture to someone else, his mother is on the radio, says, "Oh, he's such a good boy. Oh, he's such a good boy." So a lot of people would be such good boys, except that there's sort of a pack mentality. When you have a group that a group that's involved in late sundas, it drags itself down. The reverse is true as well. There's an idea specifically about Rosh Hashanah that the group has a schus. The group has schusim. B'seich ami anochi yosheves. The wise woman of Shunam said that I don't want to be judged on my own. B'seich ami anochi yosheves. I'd rather be judged with the group. Now, you better be part of a group that you want to be judged with, because sometimes people are parts of groups that they would rather not be judged with. But that idea is an idea that every group creates a certain normalcy, a level of what's considered normal, a certain level of expectations. When you're part of a group that behaves in a certain way, the expectations are a certain way. And the same person, when he's in one group, and behaves a certain way and attaches himself to another group, there's a certain level of normalcy, what that's considered normal in a certain group of people. Like you go to a shul where they daven 10-minute minchas every day, so 10 minutes is normal. Go to a place where they daven 20-minute minchas, then 20 minutes is normal. Whatever you get used to is normal. And people are influenced by the group around them, not just by the peer pressure for extraordinary things, but for normal things. So if someone's going to speak Lashon Hara as part of a group, he creates a certain avi, or a certain reality, a certain sense of what's
something
acceptable.
Something good comes out of it because you're good, and you get something good, but you happen to be in a town where people, the majority are bad.
If you can do good when they're doing bad,
so
then
the town
you're
gets punished, you're going to get punished.
It's true. There's a din, it's a Mesechta Rosh Hashanah, or the right time of the year. The Iran, the Mesechta Rosh Hashanah, and after Zayin Isakasha. It says there in the Mishnah that we judge on Rosh Hashanah, of course. And then it says that on Sukkot we judge for the rain, and on Pesach we judge for the wheat, and on Shavuos for the peiros. So the Iran asked, if you judged on Rosh Hashanah, we judged everything. Miyayani Miyayashir is Rosh Hashanah. So what happens, the Shlosha Chagim, what happens to Tavua? Rain is Parnasa. So the Rani answers, you say, that there's a din haklali and a din haprati. There's the individual's din, and there's the din of the community that a person is part of. If he's part of a community that has a din in a certain direction, then he'll get sucked in, he'll get pulled into that din haklali. The Rebbe Chanan brings this.
He's entitled to schach, and then he's going to be hurt because everyone else is being hurt.
That's right. If you're part of a group, you'll be hurt. During a war, does it pay to run away?
As we will.
Of course. But if you believe that Rosh Hashanah was gepaskin if a person will die or live, so what does the running away do? Anyway, Levrayach b'shas ha-mulchama. So Rabbi Chanan brings from the Gra. Now we know it helps from a pasuk in Chumash. What's the pasuk in Chumash? No, penyamus b'mulchama. It says, right, some certain people don't go to war. Penyamus b'mulchama. So obviously, he wouldn't have died otherwise. So Rabbi Chanan brings from the Gra this rule that din ha-klali lo'ilam geveres al din ha-prati. If there's a din on the klal, and you get sucked in with the group, so the din haklali will affect the prat. It works the other way too. It works l'tov as well. That if there's a good din on the klal, that the yachid can get pulled along. That's b'seich ami anechi yosheves. That's the idea.
Was that the clue so behind when it was said that if the Malach HaMavis is let loose, he's going to destroy the Jews?
It's the same piece in Rebbe Chanan. Very good. You remember that from Pesach? I'm very impressed. I didn't expect that from you. No, it's beautiful. The Rebbe Chanan brings, in parentheses, such a great teretz. It said on the night of Pesach, Kivan in Mitzrayim, Kivan shenitn rishus lamashus lahashchis, ain't a mafke made tzaddik l'rasha. Once a sultan can kill, he doesn't make a distinction between a tzaddik and a rasha. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, what do you mean? The sultan can't kill somebody. He gets a list. He doesn't go around. He's not like a bad boy with a machine gun. He's only allowed to kill who he's allowed to kill. So what does it mean when the sultan has rishus lahashchis, ain't a mafke made tzaddik l'rasha? So he says this idea, and he says it beautifully into the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. He says, when there's a din aklali in Mitzrayim that every Bechar had to die, there could have been one Mitzri Bechar who behaved, who was a good fellow, who didn't even start up with the Jews. It could be he behaved. But since he was part of Mitzrayim, he got pulled along. On the night of Pesach, the Jews became Am Yisrael. If they were members of Mitzrayim, they would have gotten pulled along also. And they also, the Bechorim would have died. So they painted the dam on their doors, as sort of a flag, that we're our own people. And the Karban Pesach was a sign of being your own people. And that separated Klal Yisrael, created the birthday of Klal Yisrael as Pesach, because of this rule that Klal Yisrael got separated from the Din HaKlali of Mitzrayim. So that's this idea. And it all comes down to this idea that if a person does something, a person always wants to rationalize his behavior. Nobody wants to feel that he's inferior to the people around him. And therefore, a person will rationalize it among others. It's better, the Gemara says, you want to do an Aveira? It says, disguise yourself, go someplace and do the Aveira. That's the Gemara says. Haray Shiitzrim is Gabrielov, Yil Bashchayrim. He should disguise himself and he should go to a place where he's not known and do his aveir and get it over with. Don't amplify or magnify the severity of the aveir by doing it as part of a tzibur. So that's his warning about Lashon Hara. The problem is if you go Lashon Hara to do it by yourself, it's not really Lashon Hara, right? You need at least someone to listen. But as part of a group, the bigger the group, the more magnified the aveir is in the sense of it being normal damages. Well, we didn't get yet to it, but later the Chafetz Chaim says there could be Lashon Hara was not verbal. Could be a rolling of the eyes. Well, it has to be a communication between two people. But a rolling of the eyes. Okay, certain thoughts are, but the Aveira of Lashon Hara itself is with someone. So this is the Aveira. In Yud Beis, he adds, if there's an ongoing dispute and the sipur adds oil to the fire, it's machzik b'machlaikis, it causes the machlaikis to continue. In Parshas Kairach, the end of the story of Kairach, there's a lav. And the truth is, it's hard to understand the lumdis. The Pasuk says, don't be like Korach and his people. I would have thought that's a lav with starting up with Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean, don't be like Korach? What did Korach do? He started up with Moshe Rabbeinu. That seems to be the main thing he did. And it's not that way. Lo yek Korach kadasa yuhu ashara shalei lahazik b'machlaikis kadisa b'sanhedrin. To let go. Sometimes the machlaikis continues. You know, it's like the McCoys and the Hatfields. They can't remember why they started fighting after a while. So there has to be a point where a person backs down, where a person lets go, and at that point, he doesn't. If the Lashon Hara reinforces the old Machlaikis, so that's this Aveira of Lahazik Machlaikis, and that's a separate aspect of the Isser of speaking Lashon Hara. So these are Averis Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. The 12 Averis that he listed are typical of people who speak Lashon Hara. Now he goes to a list of Averis that are perhaps not as typical, but are occasionally Pa'amim. The Chafetz Chaim here, Rav Pam used to say that the Chafetz Chaim, everything he did publicly was to bring Mashiach closer. Was to bring Mashiach closer. That was his avayda. World War I was on the horizon. The terrible pogroms in Russia had just taken place, and the Chafetz Chaim saw in it ikvus of the Mashiach. Here we are 100 years later, still waiting. the Chafetz Chaim worked on those averis that were the Chazal talk about as being ma'akiv the geula. Now Lashon Hara is one of those averis. In his introduction to Mishnah Berurah, he talks about Chil Shabbos in the same vein. We know that if you keep two Shabbosos, it'll bring Mashiach. Well, any amount of Zahiris of Mashiach brings it closer. You know, Chafetz Chaim had his yeshiva in Radin to Kayanim to train to be able to do the Aveda in the Beis Hamikdash. So he had a Kachim Kail. Rav Palm was a Kayan, his father was part of Radin. Kachim Kailim, before Rav Palm was born, his father was in Radin. And as a matter of fact, Rabbi Chana Wasserman, who had his own yeshiva in Branovich, where was Branovich? In Poland. So, Rabbi Chana left his own yeshiva, every Elsman was Rosh Yeshiva. And he went to Radin, and he learned from Rosh Chodesh El to Yom Kippur in Radin. He left his yeshiva and went there. Rabbi's example, I guess, was teaching his Talmidim a lot. And Rav Palm's father was a Chavrusa Rav Chanan during their younger years in Radin. I once asked Rav Palm if he ever saw the Chafetz Chaim. So he said in his days, which was the post-World War I days, Rav Palm was born in 1914, he was born in 1913 or 1914, his bar mitzvah was 1927. So he said that was already after World War I, the borders were shut between Poland and Lithuania, but Poland as a country didn't exist for a long time. When we talk about Poland, Branovich being in Poland, it was post-World War I Poland. Poland was recreated by the Treaty of Versailles after World War I. Poland didn't exist. People look at Polish Yidden. The culture existed, but there was no country. Poland was conquered in the end of the 1700s. So at any rate, this was all part of his push, to bring Mashiach closer, and, I don't know, the continued attempt to be careful in Lashon Hara is part of that. I like to recall Rav Zev Smith, who gives a very popular Sunday shiur in the Stolen of Beis Medrash, once gave a shiur on Lashon Hara. And he told me, a European Shehid, I don't want to label anybody, but a European Shehid came to me after it, and he said, this Lashon Hara business, the Chafetz Chaim made it all up. No such thing, Lashon Hara. Where the Chumash ain't about Lashon Hara? Chafetz Chaim made it up. He says, I come from Europe. My Tata Karet Lashon Hara. My Rava Karet Lashon Hara. My Baba Karet Lashon Hara. No such thing. It can't be. It's an Aveira. Like it's, it's in the blood. So the Chafetz Chaim did something for making an awareness of Lashon Hara. There aren't really Jews today. They'll say, this isn't Lashon Hara. That isn't Lashon Hara. And sometimes it's hard to know. But at least there's an awareness that the Chofetz Chaim created. Alright, Averi Yud Gimel. In case you have not yet been dissuaded of speaking Lashon Hara, Chofetz Chaim introduces another Avera. Now, I want just to introduce it myself by telling you that you know there's an Avera called Einoah. What's Einoah? The typical Einoah is by mammon. Everyone knows of Einoah and money. If you cheat somebody, you sell something for 20% or a sixth more than the market rate, that's called Einoah. Now, there's a mistake. People think Einoah is you're not allowed to make more than a sixth profit. And that's absolutely not true. You can make as much profit as you want. If you spend $2 on paint and $2 more on a canvas, you make a painting and you sell it for $1,000, so you're making a lot of money. There's no Aveira in making as much profit as you want. Einoah is when you cheat somebody by charging more than the market price. There's a market price, it's a range. The market price is a range for a market price. For someone who cheats somebody by charging 20% over the market price is over on Einoah's mammon. And that's Einoah. And that I think is a known concept. I say 20% because Chazal calculated a sixth milbar. There's a $100 item, he's charging 120, That's Aina. Now, there's a second type of Aina. And the Mishnah says people don't know about it. The language of the Mishnah, in Mesechtas Bava Metzia, Kishem Sheyesh Aina B'Mamen, Kech Yesh Aina B'Dvarim. Just like as there's Aina with cheating someone money, financially. By the way, it's not only charging too much, cheating someone by paying too little. You find someone who has something of value, and the person is a dummy, he doesn't know it's valuable. And you convince him to sell it to you for 20% less than the market value, that's also Aina. But Kishem Sheyesh Aina B'Mamen, Kach Yesh Aina B'Dvarim. Now what is Aina B'Dvarim? It's a pasuk in Kedoshim, I believe. Laisainu Isha Samisai.
Bahar.
I'm sorry. Laisainu Isha Samisai. Now you'll confirm that. Laisainu Isha Samisai, don't cause Aina. Aina literally means pain. Saying words which cause somebody pain is Aina. Snidermark's our example, one of the many examples. Somebody makes a snidermark. Not only snidermark's reminding somebody of his, matter of fact, example it brings is, somebody asks a question, you say, hey, you answer that. You know, the fellow can't answer it. He's gonna blush. But you wanna, like, put him down. They wanna teach him a lesson. They should learn more. That's also, I know is any comment which causes pain. Let's see how the Chafetz Chaim brings it. Yud Gimel. Pamim harbe matzui oid lav acher. There's another lav which is common. Lav echad. I'm sorry. The last few years, they don't print them. The dollars and ratios look more similar. You don't notice that? The dollars and ratios lately. What? Just the test in the samach. Okay. Anyway, yeah, matzui oid lav Lav echad v'hu l'fi masharigil and harbe pa'amim levazes chaveri b'maisef harishayim. An example. This example is when you embarrass someone by talking about his past actions. Oy b'pkam mishpacha. You mention something negative about the family. Oy b'miut chachmasei b'tayro. The example I gave, where you point out that the person is a dummy. He doesn't know learning. It's like when I make fun of you, but when you're smiling, I assume it's okay. Sorry, you just whatever I know to me, you know that. You just put me down. It's let us learn it. We'll get to that. 1 second. I be malachtai, or in work, kol ish lefi inyanai. Ashenay malay devarim ashiyachisuhu viavimu. Someone should cause him anger or confusion. V'yuchalayazameyan. He has no answer. I feel him haya davar beinayla bein atzmai. Even there's no one else in the room. Oiver alav de loisainu isis amisai. Da airi ba'inoas devarim. Kedisa baba metzia. He's oiver on loisainu isis amisai, which is ainoas devarim. The kavachaimim haya zebifnei anoshim. Even just two people alone, certainly among others. Mimsa lefize. Shahamagana lechaveirai. Bein berechilus bein belashin hara. Someone who puts someone down, whether it's rechilus lashon hara b'fano b'fnei achirim alvad sheyesh olav lav lashon hara rechilus k'mesh k'sav nolel oiver gam kei b'lav zek. And now we have to explain the lav by examples, and in the footnotes, the Chafetz Chaim brings some examples in Ois Yud Gimel. Now one of them is of particular interest. Yud Gimel on the bottom, pamim harbi ma'aser rishonim v'gam mishpachi disba metzia daf nun ches. Someone's a Baal Tshuva. Remember, you used to eat chazer? You know what your parents used to do? Now, this example, it seems changed today. I don't know. Today, it's a pride. It's not seen as a negative thing when someone's a Baal Tshuva. It's a trophy. It's really something that I mentioned to you in the past, that I once had a Baal Tshuva at my table, and we were talking for some reason about eating treifas, and one of my boys, when they were still young and innocent, one of my boys said, Chazer, ugh, yuck, it's terrible. And this fellow said, what are you talking about? It's delicious. And they looked at him like he was from Mars. He says, delicious. Bacon in the morning? It's absolutely delicious. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed. So the Rambam says that a person should say, Roitzani, I'd love to eat it. Umaesev, Avishab Hashemayim, Gozer Alai. You know, and our boys say, ugh, Chaz is terrible. And Baal Tshuva says, Chaz is delicious. Umaesev, Avishab Hashemayim, Gozer Alai. I can't eat it because God said I don't eat it. So he does it right. So here, what it said in the Gemara, that when you say Zechar Masecha Rishainim to Baal Tshuva, it's negative, it seems to have changed to a certain degree. Now, maybe that's by a Tinik Shanishba, who's obviously not guilty for what he did. When Phil spoke on that Shabbos, he said, very nice, he said, why are you calling me a Baal Tshuva? Why do I have to do Tshuva for what I did? I was raised that way, I'm not a Baal Tshuva. So really, a Baal Tshuva is somebody who misbehaves and does Tshuva and hopefully sticks with it. So to tell him, Zechar Masecha Rishainim, alright, so that, you know, you don't remind him of something that causes him pain. That would be an example. He brings another example. That's only an example. Truth is, anything that causes him pain is included in this Aveira. And, the examples are reminding someone of a bad purchase, a bad investment he made. And bringing it up, when you know it causes him pain, is something of a tsar. So David asked, how does a Rebbe teach? If you're not allowed to say anything that causes someone pain, how does a Rebbe teach? I like to quote, when I have the occasion to speak from a chanchim, a paragraph in Rav Palm's Sefer, where he discusses this. He brings there that the heter to be mevazeh or mevayish or cause tsar to another person for chinuch is a heter. It's not true that it's only parents. Parents have no right to be mevayish or cause tsar to a child or hit a child any more than anybody else. There is a heter for to be mechanech through chinuch to sometimes hit or be mevayish or say words that hurt. But it's only if it's clear that it's constructive. If it's something constructive, then you're allowed to do it. Now, a parent is responsible for chinuch. So he's the one that often takes it upon himself. But Rav Palm writes there in the Sefer that a parent has no more rishus than anybody else to be mevaza a child, to hit a child. And only if it's constructive. Bizman hazeh, usually the negative outweighs the positives. You have to know. You know, if you have a little boy and he's sticking his finger in the outlet all the time, you have to give him a patch to train him not to do it.
He'll find,
usually we prefer, not to do it. Maybe that's why your son's hair stands a little bit, there is a child. I couldn't resist. Oh, you're here. I'm sorry. At any rate, this point it's a very powerful point that the saying words that cause pain, even when you have things constructive in mind, very often it's not constructive. And there's no heter. So this is called a Nas Devarim. And it's really very difficult in a classroom sometimes to get the group to order. Sometimes, what do? You have everyone. You have a dining room of boys and you gotta quiet them down and there are 30 boys that are making noise. You have to single out one of them. So the truth is there's no heter for it. It's a very difficult thing. You pick on one boy and he's usually the one that gets picked on because he has the loudest voice. I remember a mechanic once telling me, it was in camp when I got singled out and thrown out. So a very kind mechanic told me, everyone was making noise, you just have a loud voice. That's what he told me. You just have a loud voice. Alright, so now I use it hopefully a little constructive. But it was a nechama to me. You know, it was Rabbi Simcha Kaufman in camp. He was the head counselor forever. You know, he was the head counselor when I was a little boy and when I became a grandfather, he was still head counselor. But he said very kindly to me, you know, I got sent into the lobby to wait for the head counselor. He said, it's not your fault, you just have a loud voice. You know, like, So I felt much better.
If you're in shul and somebody's talking, is it better to point it out at the time or to wait for it?
It depends. You really should tell the person nicely, in a kind way, not in an angry way. You know, if you point it out in a nice way, it's often helpful. It's often helpful, otherwise not. I don't know. I know the Devarim is something to work on, and it applies at home as well. When a person comes home, family, it applies. 705 or 710? 710. Okay. So you get to learn one more Aveira. Okay? Your lucky day. One more Aveira. Aveira Yud Dalid. Okay? V'im gineyu kolkach v'dvarim. Again, the Rechav Chaim is listing Aveiris, potential Aveiris with Lashon Hara. If you are Megana somebody, you degrade him with words, till his color changes, to cause someone so much pain that he has a reaction to it, that's the Aveira Loisisa Olav Chet. Interesting explanation of the Pasuk. Even when you're allowed to call somebody, you're allowed to be mechiachim. You're supposed to tell them you're doing an aveira, but not to be mevayishim. Ad till the point of busho. Even when you're just with him, you shouldn't embarrass him. Shaloi b'makam ha-techacha b'fnei acherim. Certainly not in a place of techacha, you shouldn't be mevayishim. Chozeh, shaloi hayo b'rabim. Aval hil ben esperechit, pepana b'rabim. If someone's mevayish someone else b'rabim, that's worse. Kevar kirsu chazal mi oylam haba. V'amur amal ben esperechit, v'hei b'rabim, ein lechelek lo oylam haba. So here, I have to add to the Chafetz Chaim a little bit of a disclaimer. The Chafetz Chaim, yes, says he mevazes someone berabim, so you have no chelik in Olam Haba. Kvar kesuhu chazal mi Olam Haba. That's not entirely true. It's not entirely true, and I once had this with somebody who told me, Tzadik Abiyin, who told me that as a counselor in camp, he was once mevazes somebody berabim. So he doesn't know, you know, he gets up and davens every day like it's all over for him, you know. The Mavayish someone barabim, he tried to trace the person back and ask him b'chivla, he wasn't able to. And, you know, if he has no chelik in Olam Haba anyway, you know, he might as well enjoy Olam Hazeh. That was his question. So I showed him in the Rambam, in Hilchos Deis, it's not true. It doesn't even make sense that a person misbehaves once could lose his whole Olam Haba. The Rambam says, Hamal bin Penech Aveire barabim, says, Harogil be'elu. The Rambam lists, I think it's 24 things, am I right? That Chazal say a person loses Olam Haba for. And one of them is Amal ben Penech Aveira. He says, HaRogil Be'elo Ein Lechelek L'Olam Haba. So, it's a little, now it's not encouraging you to do it once in a while, but HaRogil Be'elo. Api Arizal, it says in the Arvei Nachal, that every person's neshama is comprised of a lot of mini neshamas, like a cluster. And every night when you go to sleep, one little piece of your neshama goes up. And that piece, and every day you have a piece of neshama. On Yom Kippur, it's an important piece, and different pieces. He says, that piece of neshama has no chelik l'olam haba. In olam haba, people are balimum, people are more complete and less complete. But that piece of neshama has no chelik, but it doesn't mean a person loses completely his chelik l'olam haba.